just let him play if he didn't lunch. 10:30 to 1. And if Francie's still throwing up, I told
her. Okay. I think that we're now live. Let me find that link. But we're on the air.
That's pretty cool.
Hi, everybody.
Or anybody.
Good morning.
Hang on just 1 second. There we go. Okay, John, I'm sending that to you. And then you just want to make sure your computer is muted.
I think it is. Yeah.
Did you find it?
No, there's no link yet. No, just leave it there.
It says inbox 5. Yeah.
There it is. It's just empty. There you are.
Oh, delayed.
But you should see the chat there on the right hand side.
If anybody's out there, say hi to us.
Wendy and Ron. Yeah.
Terry, good morning from Ohio.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
All right. So we'll have to keep remembering the camera's there.
Yes.
And I can't quite see it from here, but
I'll do my best.
All right. You can let me know who's tuning in. And who's ever joining us right now, we are now live. This is the first time we're using the new equipment set up in my office, which is super cool. But we haven't done it with a live thing like this with Nancy and with the computer so we can look at chat. So it's going to take a little work to figure out how all this is going to operate. So
yeah.
So we can do it.
We can do it. Well, we're not doing anything. Tim and Jackson are doing all the technical work. We're just sitting here talking.
We're learning as we go. As we get started, I actually have some questions for you to answer, John and Nancy. And for anybody who's joining us, welcome to our Christmas live stream with Become New. We're concluding the series Connected today. And we're going to start off with just some questions about Christmas. So here's my first question, and you can answer in the chat. We'd love to see your answers. But for John and Nancy, the first question is, how do the Ortbergs decorate for Christmas? How do you decorate for Christmas?
We have a very clear division of labor on that one.
It's pretty standard. You know, we get a Christmas tree. I put up the Christmas tree.
And I do the house.
And we have some ornaments that are very meaningful. And some old Christmas stuff for the house. You have a stocking from when you were...
My mom knitted it, which is the only thing she ever knitted in her whole life. Yeah, from when I was probably 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
But yeah, John picks out the tree, puts the tree up, decorates the tree with all those little details.
We will sometimes battle over when to start Christmas music because I love Christmas music and cannot start it early enough.
I don't like to start it before Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving is different than Christmas, you see.
So. And sadly, Nancy's favorite two Christmas songs by far are I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
And Santa Baby.
They're the
best. Nancy, why is I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas your favorite Christmas song? There's so
Have
many
you
great.
Listened to it? Have you listened to it? It's jaunty and full of longing as a child and imagination.
Wonder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great.
Seems a little hokey to me. I don't know.
No.
Okay. Here's the next question, and you can answer in the chat if you're watching, joining us live. Does your family buy gifts for each other?
Oh.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. We buy gifts, and Nancy's a great gift buyer.
I love buying gifts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we're a small enough
extended family that we all do that for each other, and then put everybody in a big circle, distribute all the presents, and then open them up one at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. The kids usually get 3 presents and a book and then stocking stuff. And then John and I usually exchange gifts on Christmas Eve night before the chaos of Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We have one tradition that's personal, so we can't tell you about it.
Right.
That's okay. We'll let you hold that one. Here's a follow-up question. Would you say you two are last minute shoppers, or are you someone who plans months ahead?
We do not plan months ahead.
We don't plan anything months ahead. No. But with Christmas, it'd be a little bit more on the farther ahead. Like it's not like waiting until December 24th to go out and buy stuff.
Well, sure, but it goes through the whole season. I think all 23 days we're actively working on that. It just drives me crazy when people say, oh, you have last minute shopping ideas. It's like, it's not last minute until it's December 24th.
I know, it's like December 15th.
Yeah, what qualifies last minute
shoppers? Like, no.
Yeah, so here's a question. Do you still have gifts to buy? I mean, Christmas Eve is tomorrow.
Oh, yes. No.
I don't have gifts to buy. Apparently, we have gifts to buy.
There are gifts still to be bought.
Okay.
All right. Here's another question.
Especially in the stocking stuffer category, but a few in the other main category.
Oh, yeah.
But not a lot.
Stocking stuffing category are things like beef jerky and socks.
Socks.
And, yeah.
Beef. You put beef jerky in the stockings?
In our sons.
Yeah. Well, you don't say who. Not that they're going to be listening.
No.
All right. I would love to hear, actually, from the comments, what are some of the stocking stuffers that you get for your family if you do stockings? Because I think that I've never heard of anyone giving beef jerky as a stocking stuffer, but I've got new ideas for my family. Mm-hmm. Watch out. My kids are gonna
I think probably part of the problem is stocking. It just suggests feet. So you don't think of beef jerky and stocking. So you have to expand your imagination.
You do. Thank you for expanding my mind a bit. Next question. A few Christmas movies that you love.
Go ahead.
Well, It's Wonderful Life's old standby. Actually, we just watched one last night. We had the family over. And there's I think it's a new one called The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. And I thought it was quite funny. It's about this kind of family that doesn't belong, never been to church, don't know anything about Jesus, but they hog all the great roles in the Christmas pageant. And it ends up, to me, being quite moving. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, way more than funny. It is the seeing of the Christmas story through fresh eyes who've never heard it before in a really winsome way.
Yep.
Yeah.
And everybody in the church, or most everybody in the church, doesn't want them there because they don't know how to act.
They don't fit in.
They're kind of mean. And
It's quite charming.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great.
You can't write off mine. What are your favorite Christmas movies?
No. I actually adore Love Actually. I think the ensemble pieces and the characters weaving together with their various stories. And then at the end in the airport scene, when it's just a beautiful picture of radical and promiscuous inclusion, which I think is lovely.
That's great. Yeah. If you guys have any movies, Christmas movies, that in the chat that you want to put that you appreciate. Christmas Vacation. Have you guys seen Christmas Vacation?
White Christmas. You love that. Yes, we've seen Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Under Wraps. All right. Excellent. Okay, I got another question for you. How about a few Christmas songs that you love?
I always used to have this thing. Radio is less of a big deal nowadays, so it's not quite as true. But I like old stuff. I like old movies. I like old music and old singers. And Bing Crosby's version of White Christmas, when I would hear that the first time, that was always like a celebration thing. So I like that one a lot. There's a George Winston album of kind of mildly jazzy versions of a number of Christmas kind of songs, December. And so I like listening to that quite a lot. Chanticleer Christmas, there's like choral stuff that they do that's really cool. I like that a lot. I love Nat King Cole, Chestnuts Roasting on Open Fire. I love in the movie Meet Me in St. Louis, which is not particularly a Christmas movie, but Judy Garland sings to Margaret O'Brien, who has knocked over her snowman because she's so disconsolate at the family's move, the song Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And I love that. I love the way she sings that song.
Yeah, it's very evocative. I love some of the old hymns. I love O Come All Ye Faithful. I think the words are so rich. I love listening to somebody, a choir sing Ave Maria. Very reflective.
Both of us like, although it doesn't really mention Christmas much, Good King Wenceslas.
Yes.
It's just a cool story.
How does that one go, John? Can you hum it for us?
And the Feast of
Good
Stephen.
King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen. And then it goes on from there. It's kind of the great inversion, a king caring for a peasant. And so it's a kind of a cool, very old version of how at Christmas time in the incarnation, God is lifting up the lowly. And we're invited into that.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, two more quick ones. Fake tree or real tree, people? Do you go out and get a real tree?
100% of the time.
When I was growing up, we had a fake tree upstairs because it kind of went with the home decor. But then we kids really wanted a real tree. So we actually had a real tree and we would like pop popcorn and string it up and stuff and do that one downstairs. So we actually had a fake tree and a real tree.
Nice. A fake tree and a real tree, both. Mm-hmm. Here's some songs that came in from people. Bethlehem Morning. Have you ever heard of that song?
No.
Maybe if I heard it, I would, but it doesn't ring a bell.
That's one that's kind of popular in Brittany's family, my wife. Bethlehem Morning is more than just a memory. Have you heard that one?
Nope, don't think so.
Okay, you got some homework. Bethlehem Morning. Mary, did you know?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, although it's somewhat controversial now.
Tell us why,
it involves kind of mansplaining to Mary.
Oh, and that's not good.
It is evocative, and I think it's just lovely. It's also interesting, especially from a Protestant tradition, we often don't realize how indebted we are to Mary. She really is kind of the one that figured it all out. So it's like if anybody knew, Mary did. But yeah, it is that's a way true. Of just reflecting on the incarnation that I think is lovely.
Now that he's ruined it for all of you, sorry, love I'm that just song. Thinking,
yeah. Just mansplaining. Yeah. Hey, Mary, did you know?
Yeah,
actually, long before you did.
Yes.
That's hilarious. Okay, last one. Best white elephant gift you've ever received.
I actually think years ago I went to a gift exchange like that and somebody had a little box of a ceramic white elephant and I grabbed that and took it home with me because I love elephants. I love India, but I thought that was a very clever gift to bring.
Yeah. I got nothing.
Nothing.
I got nothing. Nobody ever gives me nothing. I never get anything for Christmas.
All right. Well, everyone who's viewing, you now know your marching order. Send John your best white elephant gift.
No,
it's just overflow his front step with the most ridiculous, useless gifts that you can think of. Perfect. Awesome. Well, I think we're ready to get started, John. So I've got a few more questions that are more heartfelt, but I'll save them till the end if we have time and just turn it over to you.
Somebody's referencing the leg lamp before we move on. That should be noted. That's classic.
Yeah. Classic. From actually, that was probably my dad's favorite movie. Was it A Christmas Story?
Yeah, Christmas Story.
Yeah, he loved that because it was kind of set in the era in which he grew up. So
Yeah.
So we have been walking through the Gospel of Luke and thinking about the theme of connection. And so I thought I'd start with a quote from Fred Buechner. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about if Bible characters sent out Christmas cards, what would they be like? And you can jump in anytime you want to. But this is from Buechner's book, Now and Then. And it makes me think about the incarnation and what was God up to in having Jesus come to earth. Buechner says, listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery that it is. In the boredom and pain of it, no less than in the excitement and gladness. Touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it. Because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. And I think part of the message of incarnation is that if God could be present in a manger or in a carpenter shop or in that body of a Jewish rabbi, there is no moment in time and no place in space where he cannot be present. And so he wants us all to be included in that and looking at life in the pain of life as well as in the joys and the magic of Christmas. And especially over these last few years, that's a very helpful thought. There have been painful moments for us in Christmas time, and finding God in them is really good. And it made me think also, it seems like this is just anecdotal. I have no research around this, but it seems like more and more Christmas cards that come feature pictures of beautiful families in beautiful places wearing beautiful clothes. And I love getting those cards. I love knowing what's happening in people's lives and in people's families. And so if you send those, please do put us on the list, because that's a wonderful gift. But it made me think about how probably none of our families look quite as good in actual life as they do on the Christmas cards. Similarly to our lives don't look quite as good in real life as they do in social media. And so, and how glad and grateful I am that the characters in the Bible are very ordinary and flawed people, and yet God can use them. So it made me think, if Bible family sent out Christmas cards, what would they be like?
I love it.
And I have a few examples, unless you were going to say something.
Keep going. I'm listening.
Okay. I can tell you're wrapped. So Adam and Eve, here's a picture of us with Cain, our other son wasn't able to pose this year. And that would be both dad humor. You laughed.
Chuckle. That was a chuckle.
And, the beginning of family tragedy. Mm-hmm. As this takes place in Christmas. Noah, I won't even go to like what their Christmas card would look like. Isaac's Christmas card, here's me and Sarah, and I mean Abraham's, here's me and Sarah and Isaac, but Ishmael and Hagar are not in it this time. And then the next generation, Esau and Jacob have been fighting over Christmas presents again. And then when Jacob has a family, Rachel and Leah are still battling to see who can have another child this year. Joseph got a new robe for Christmas. His brothers are not happy about this. Another Christmas card, Zipporah here. Moses killed a guy, so he's in timeout. He's not on the card this year. Another one, Bathsheba here. I'm new to the family. David made me a mistress, a widow, and a bride all in one year. It's quite a blended family. Absalom couldn't be here. He refused to get a haircut. Another Christmas card, Samson here. I did get a haircut. I really regret it. No Delilah in this picture. Another one, Jonah here. This is me not going to Nineveh. This is me getting swallowed by a whale. This is me getting regurgitated by a whale. This is me going to Nineveh. I didn't like it. This is the vine that gave me some shade. I like that. This is the worm that ate my vine. I didn't like the worm. This is me mad. That was the end of my year. There's just, when you think about what would the Christmas cards look like from Bible characters, they would just be lots and lots of really messy people with really messy families, and yet God is connected to them all. And that makes me really glad, just in my mess and brokenness. There's a wonderful passage in Mark 10 where Jesus says, nobody who has left anything for my sake and the sake of the gospel will not receive, even in this life, 100 times over. Homes, brother, sister, mother, children. And we experience that partly just together. And I think about Linda getting that text from you about what it's like as you have suffered loss this year and felt orphaned in some ways, and to get to be in a family with you. Think about your friend Gail, who has gone through grief this year.
Oh, yeah.
And is just continuing to embrace life, whatever the journey is, that we all get to be connected with each other. And I was thinking, if Jesus sent out a Christmas card, who would be in his picture? And, you know, he tells us, I was in prison and I was sick and you visited me, and I was hungry and I was thirsty. The least of these. So we all get to be in that Christmas card, and that day is coming, and that's part of what Christmas is about. So it just makes me very grateful, and glad for all of you. Glad that we get to share this season together and share this community together.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's great. Thanks, John.
Yep.
Thanks for sharing that. Nancy, question for you. How are you finding peace and joy in Christmas these days?
You know, I think that's a great question. I think as you get older, it's a little easier sometimes.
I think we may have just lost them. Let's see if they come back here on the stream. Oh, here we go.
You can just experience that peace and joy for 3 seconds or 2 minutes. Like, that's good enough. And that builds a little place in your heart where just you and God live, and that place can be returned to a lot during the season.
Mm-hmm. And are there any meaningful or memorable Christmas moments for you that you reflect on during this season?
Yeah, when I was 8 years old, my parents had split up. And back in those days, about the only kid in school whose parents were going through a divorce. It was just a very different time then. And I was very sad. And it's a long story, but my parents actually ended up getting back together. And the first Christmas we had back together, when I woke up and ran down the hall, for the first time, my three main Christmas presents were unwrapped. And left to right, there was a basketball with a hoop. Mm. There was a Thumbelina doll that when you wound her up in the back, she moved. And my uncle had made a crib for her and painted it pink. And then there was a milkshake maker with malt, because every milkshake tastes better with malt. So I remember both the joy of my parents had just gotten back together. And as a kid, like, to have my parents back together was at the top of my Christmas list. And then to run out and rather than open the presents, it was just so different that they were all right there. And it was the sporty side of me, the doll side of me, the food side of me. It was just a really fun memory. I have a picture of it that every time I see it, it brings back really sweet memories. Yeah. How about you?
Man, you know, one of them was just our first Christmas together. We had gotten married. And we actually got engaged on Christmas Eve.
We did.
And so that memory of asking you to marry me on Christmas Eve and having you be really surprised and initially saying,
what?
What?
That was my answer. What?
Mm-hmm. And then yes. and then when we got married and we lived overseas, then you worked as a maid and I was studying, and we were actually in, some guy flew us over to a winter Christian sports camp in Flims, Switzerland. And so that being just a million miles away from everybody that we knew,
just us,
and just on our own in a strange place in a strange part of the world. I love that Christmas. And it just kind of felt like it was the beginning of our journey
of
Christmas. Yeah. Beginning of us.
Snowflakes the size of our heads and really good chocolate. Mm-hmm. Really good chocolate. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
And John, Nancy answered, but how are you, like, what brings you peace and joy during Christmas these days?
That? You know, I was thinking about how easily I can miss it. Yesterday, there were a couple of chances to just use the car to help somebody when they needed either transportation. We ended up needing AAA at one point. It just made me say, man, thank you God for AAA. Wow. That's just amazing. And and it made me think about different times in my life when I was just able to drive somebody someplace, but very often would kind of resent it and feel like I was being interrupted rather than, oh, here's just a chance to help somebody. So even having a thought like that come of, in just real simple prosaic ways, because often I'll get frustrated with myself. I'll have a picture in my mind of the way that I want Christmas to be, and I want it to be magic and like this kind of movie fantasy, and me as this magical larger-than-life character, and I'm not. And so recognizing, actually, I don't have to be. I will think about other people who do things for Christmas that just seem amazing. Christmas Village is something that somebody who's a good friend of ours does. And it's
good
remarkable.
For them. I would not want to do it.
Nope. But it made me think, don't compare. Don't compare myself to other people. Don't compare my Christmases to other people. Don't compare my traditions or rituals to other people's. Just be available and be grateful. And we were at church together yesterday, and the pastor made a statement. He was talking about peace, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But then he got to how really peace is deeply connected to love, and that's part of what Christmas is about, and how easily we can miss that. And he said, the peace of Jesus is never present anywhere, anytime the love of Jesus is absent. And so that sentence and that thought that at any moment I can receive his love and try to give it to somebody else is a helpful one to me.
It's wonderful. Nancy, can you catch us up a little bit on what's going on in your life? Any latest updates or news for folks?
Yeah. I've been with the same organization for 10 years. It's called Transforming the Bay with Christ up in the Bay Area. And with our accelerated move down to Santa Barbara, made the decision after almost 10 years to move to a part-time role. And one of my colleagues, Gary, who is amazing, is going to be taking over the helm of leading it. So I'm going to be working for Gary. Although Gary texted on the work thread last night that he did not love the best Christmas pageant ever. So now I have real deep concerns about his internal character. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be playing a part-time role, going up to the Bay Area once a month and then working from down here. And just really excited for TBC and what's next under Gary's leadership and a chance to go from leading the organization to working for somebody else leading it. So ready for that move.
That's awesome. Before we kind of move into wrapping up the call today, I just want to say to everyone joining us in the chat, thank you so much for being here. And if you have any questions for John or Nancy, put them in the chat and we'll see if we can maybe tee some up, a few up to them.
Yeah. Patty, I'm so sorry to hear about your husband. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see everybody come around you, but I'm really sorry.
Yeah. John, Nancy, what are you two looking forward to in 2024?
Or 25?
25. Sure. Sorry.
Let's go there.
Thank you. Yeah. We're already out of 2024 almost. Very close.
I think for me, getting settled in Santa Barbara with new rhythms will feel really good. And then it's been a couple of big trips that we've had to put off over the last 5-6 years and are hoping to maybe figure out a way in, over the next year or two to get at least one or two of them in our schedule again.
Nancy's a very strong 7 on the Enneagram. And so trip travel, adventure, going any place is like a huge thing. Yeah. So if we're on one trip, that's the question is what's the next trip going to be?
Well, and they did get canceled. So there is that.
They did. No, it's my fault.
Oh, it's not
my
bad.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. You know, I was talking to my friend Kent about this a couple of days ago, that I'll have this picture in my mind of very consistent rhythms from one week to the next. But Tim, as you know, often the kind of stuff that we're doing with Become New will involve like going down to San Jose to do a seminar down there and going to Oklahoma to be doing stuff there. We're going to meet my friend Rick and actually meet with pastors in Hawaii, I know, in January. But it will be like legitimate ministry stuff.
Roughing it, yeah.
And those are things I love getting to do. I love those conversations. I love those kind of connections. But it does mean that life doesn't often look in the way that I'll picture in my head of, oh, it's Monday morning, I do this. It's Thursday afternoon, I do this. So figuring out what should the shape of life look like, even if the activities are not the same each week, I'm looking forward to figure out what will that be in this season. And then I just love being able to be down here, being around family, being near people that we love and watching life unfold and having little kids in our life and seeing what are they learning? What are they experiencing next? Getting to be a part of that. I think for me, a big part of the journey over the last several years has been life just one day at a time and don't plan anything too far ahead or hold on to anything too tightly. Just hold it real loosely. And this day, manna for this day. And that's, you know, Become News very much that way. And that's been really helpful to me.
Yeah. I think too, just the whole, John's talked a couple of times this morning about the discrepancy between the way you think life's going to go, especially at Christmas, and the way life really is. And I think learning to live at the intersection of those two things, that's where life, that's where reality really is, and that's where God lives. We had our grandkids over a couple of nights ago for a movie night and spend the night, and it was so much fun. But then one of them woke up at 9:30 and 1:15 and 3:30, and it was just this combination of magic, sweet, tender moments, and I'm so tired, I can't see straight. Please go back to sleep. And just sitting with both of those and realizing it's the whole of all of that that's good, not just the imagined sentimental beauty of it. Yeah. And yeah. It's true in our lives too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Here's some questions from the chat. One is, John, will you keep Become New going?
So. Yes. Unless something happens that I don't anticipate happening. And again, it's like day at a time. But my plan very definitely is to keep it going. I feel a deep sense of calling. I love to do this. I love to try to be able to learn and think and then communicate. And then the conversations with people that have flowed out of Become New, and often people who may be going through something deep, have just been so meaningful reading.
Looks like their stream froze for a second here.
Actually thinking about possibilities of, could we become a place where if people are interested in spiritual formation and study, research, articles, communities, programs, stuff that's happening well, could we find a way to communicate that with folks and assess how we're doing at it? You know, we'll see what happens, but there's some possibilities around that that are really exciting that we're talking about. So, yep.
No, and I would say at least twice a week when you're on a break from work or at lunch, you'll just talk about, I can't believe I get to do this, to read and think all day long and then synthesize complex ideas for all of us to understand. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah. Here's another question for you, for John and for Nancy, but what's been your favorite episode or series that Become New has ever done?
Man. That's to me, is just, that's like who's your favorite child?
Yeah. Well, we have friends that could answer that. We won't go into that right now.
I don't have one.
Is a very small one just out of this last series. I love the one where John explained Mary's Magnificat. I don't think I'd quite heard it. Like, she doesn't respond to the joy of having a baby. She responds to the promise of the Messiah and the hope for the world. And I found that very compelling.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay, here's another question. Steps book is exciting. I wrote my thesis on celebrating recovery. John, why did you write this book? And so there's Ruben here is referring the book Steps, which is actually releasing in early February. And we've got a few bits of information for you about that. But John, tell us a little bit about why you wrote the book.
Yeah, I've always been fascinated by the 12 steps in AA. And particularly when I began to read about how they really started in what was called the Oxford Group, which was an attempt to recapture following Jesus, discipleship that was concrete and actionable, but not legalistic or mechanical in contemporary life. And beginning with Bill W. and then Dr. Bob and then others, people simply entered into a spiritual way of life that was so powerful that, oh, by the way, it had the side benefit of giving you the ability to be sober when you were in the clutches of addiction. And so it seemed to me like that would be a good gift, not just for people that are addicts, but for anybody. And I'll be talking about all this stuff more. Dallas Willard actually wrote in a couple of books about how if the church ever gets discipleship right, it will look a lot like the 12 steps in AA. And the basic idea behind the book is really AA got the 12 steps from the church, and now the church needs them back. And so that's what I'm going to be, that's what the book will be about. And we're going to do the seminar thing in San Jose. And I think there's lots and lots more learning. I'm going to do a series on steps that Become New. And I just think the possibilities are almost endless.
Hmm. Wonderful. Well, we do actually have a conference that you are speaking at in San Jose, January 24th, 25th. I've put the link here in the lower thirds if anyone wants to register for that conference or find out more information. John, can you just tell us a little bit about what that conference is going to be all about?
Yeah, that one I'm looking forward to a lot. I hadn't initially planned on it. At first, I thought I was just going to be speaking at a conference with other folks. And then they said, no, it's just you. And then I thought, well, it'd be really cool to not just talk about the 12 steps, but actually have a concentrated period of time where we all walk together through an initial attempt at doing the 12 steps. And so it really will be a conference where if you come to it, it won't just be learning about something or listening to a talk about something. We'll actually do step one, admit that we're powerless and our lives are unmanageable. We're actually going to learn how to do a fearless and searching moral inventory. You will not actually have to confess all of your worst sins to another person, but you're going to find out how to do that and what that looks like and why it makes a difference. And also, I've been thinking about this much more recently. I hope to connect the dots a little bit between the 12 steps. 12 steps really is a way of life, or churches will sometimes talk about the need for a discipleship pathway, or the old language is rule of life. That's exactly what the 12 steps are. And there's great overlap connections between the 12 steps and like the rule of Benedict or Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together. So I'm hoping to connect some of those dots in San Jose also.
That's great.
And yeah, if you sign up today, you get this beautiful set of Ginzu steak knives at no extra charge.
Perfect. Yeah, all the steak knives. Well, actually, if you want to find out more information about steps, you can at our website, becomenew.com/steps. You can join the street team and get a download of the first chapter, which is pretty great. So anyway, that's my plug. It's not Ginsu steak knives, John, but it is the first chapter of the book. And I actually do have one other kind of fun thing. Some of you may have noticed that John sometimes wears this zip up. So if you've seen this, I've gotten a lot of texts and emails from people that are like, are these for sale? Do we have these available? We don't. We actually don't have hardly any. But I do have four left. I have four of these. And so here's what we're going to do. Here are the sizes I have. I have a woman's extra large, a woman's large, and a men's extra large, and a men's large. Those are the four that I have. If you want one of those, email us at connect@becomenew.com. And it'll be first come, first serve, first people to email us. We're just going to send those to you because we only have four left and you can have them. And we'll probably do some new merch just for fun this coming year. But those are the four. So the other thing is the sizes run a little small. So I just want to give you a heads up on that.
But somebody that just could put be in the chat, start the bidding.
Start the bidding.
Bump it up. Yeah, that's funny.
They're completely free. That's the first funny, email us at connect@becomenew.com. You can only get one per email. So you can't email us and say, I want all four. Only one per person. I have a woman's extra large, a woman's large, and a men's extra large, and a men's large. So we'll send those out to you. The other thing just to let you know is that we are going to take a break between now and January 13th. So we'll be back with daily episodes walking through the steps content with John Monday, January 13th. So be sure to tune in then, and we'll send you a text or an email to kind of let you know that that's coming. But John, I think that's all I've got for now. Is there anything else that you wanted to share?
The only thing I was going to say is I did do a bunch of videos that are like, I always like those kind of beginning of the year and lists of what do I need to let go of last year and how do I want to enter into this year? So you and Jackson get to look at those and decide if they're worth using or if they're not. This is kind of a group decision process, but there may be episodes ahead of January 13th, just for people to know.
Absolutely. There will be. Yeah. So we have a few one-offs surprises that are coming your way between now and January 13th. So we're looking forward to send those out to you. Just as we close, last question is there anything you'd like to say to encourage folks as they're going into their own Christmas season? Do you have a send-off? Someone put in the chat at one point, what encouragement would you have for people that are just really struggling with Christmas this year?
Yeah, you know, I think Christmas is one of those times where it can be the most joyful time of the year and it can be the most painful time of the year. And sometimes the pain is deeper because we want it to be joy or we're surprised by pain. And there'll be moments for me when I will have a memory or I will look at a picture and it will just trigger sadness that catches me by surprise. And So I think the, you know, the wonder of that idea of incarnation is Jesus isn't just present in the moments where all is calm and all is bright and it's the most wonderful time of the year. He is as deeply present in the painful times and the hard times. And in some ways, his presence there might be even more deep because there's, and we all discover that as part of the fellowship of the withered hand, there's a way that we meet each other in places of suffering and difficulty and pain and doubt and fear. There's a way that we meet each other there and can love each other there and help each other there and form a connection and a bond that for some reason I don't fully understand runs deeper than when everything is happy and good. And so if you're going through something that's difficult or deep or dark, the comfort I would offer is not that it's going to end, because it might not, but if you stay there, you will find Jesus there. He will be there.
I like it.
Anything from you, Nance?
No. I like what he said.
All right. Beautiful. I think that's a great, great place to end it. Thanks, John and Nancy, for joining us. Merry Christmas, everyone. And if you haven't already, we would love for you to subscribe to our YouTube channel if you want to. That way you won't miss any future episodes or videos from John. This is like a little minor behind the curtain, but our team, not John, John doesn't actually care about this, but our team is kind of excited about trying to reach 20,000 subscribers, and we have 19,456 right now. So you could be one of a handful of people that can help us cross that 20,000 line. We don't monetize our channel or anything. We're a nonprofit. And so it's just kind of a fun internal thing for us. But like I said, John doesn't actually really care about that. So I'll just say it from our team. Great. Thanks for joining us. We'll hang out here a little bit just to engage with the comments. But I think that's all I've got. John, any last words?
I'm all done. I'm all out of words.
All out of words. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Words. Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
See you, in the new year.
And Tim and Jackson, thanks for everything you guys do. Holy cow.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. You bet. Our pleasure.
Very fun.
Excuse me. Awesome. I'll just throw up some of these comments from people.
Great. It's fun to see Lynn Seward on there. She, when we moved to Chicago, she was the one that brought us our first meal to our door to welcome us. Chinese food, if I remember correctly.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
John, Nance, do you guys have like a traditional Christmas dinner meal, like food?
Yeah, we do. You know, often we would do the same as Thanksgiving, the turkey and all that. But lately we've been doing more of a beef roast with potatoes kind of thing. Something just to mix it up. And then Laura, Christmas Eve, will be at Laura's house and she does lasagna on Christmas Eve, which is fun. Yeah. How about you guys?
We had a big spaghetti dinner last night, which I hope becomes a tradition, the last Sunday before Christmas.
Yeah.
And the morning after Christmas, I will make Swedish pancakes and bacon.
Oh,
how about you guys, Tim?
Yeah, for us this year, we're going to go steak. Went to Costco yesterday.
Nothing picked up wrong some steaks. With that.
Brittany is a fantastic cook. I mean, some people are just naturally gifted at cooking, and she's really good. So I'm excited. She actually asked me, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, I want you to cook steaks. So she was like, done.
That's great. Done. That's wonderful.
Will you go surfing on Christmas, John and Nancy?
I don't know if it'll be on Christmas Day, maybe. The waves,
possibly.
Swell came in yesterday and the waves are like 8 to 12 feet. So way beyond our capabilities. So hopefully it's settled down a little bit.
But our youngest wanted to be here for sure, because he said it's like literally kind of a historic moment. Like this is once every 5 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And looking at the ocean yesterday.
He went out three different times.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very cool to watch.
Yeah. Have you guys ever seen the George C. Scott's A Christmas Carol?
Yes.
That movie?
Yes. Yep.
That's one of my favorites. I wasn't asked the question, but I'll just throw that out there.
There you go.
Have you ever seen the Albert Finney musical version?
No, but I do love Albert Finney.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean that to be funny. I'm pretty sure that that's accurate. There's a musical version of it that probably 50 years ago or something with, I think it's Albert Finney, and I liked it quite a lot. Yeah. Although I got to say, another one that I always think of in my head when we were kids, I'll bet you know about this one. It was a cartoon character named Mr. Magoo.
Oh, Mr. Magoo.
Oh, Mr.
And
Magoo.
That was on every year. And that also was a musical one. It would show Mr. Magoo going in to get made up for his part of Scrooge. And then he goes through the whole show. And yeah. Mr. Magoo's.
That was funny.
Scrooge, I like quite a lot.
Yeah. Here's just a question. I wonder what you think about this from Bruce Horgan. Do you think it's okay to give a strong Catholic a Bible for Christmas? Don't want to offend them or anything. Have any opinion on that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I would, if it's somebody who is a Catholic, I would get them a Catholic Bible that would include what's called the Apocrypha in it. But...
Nice. There you go, Bruce. Awesome. Patty Kirkland. Yes, Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, that was
hard to forget.
But Tim, there is a 1970 version of Scrooge with Albert Finney, and it's a musical, and I think you would like it.
I will definitely look it up. I love a good musical for sure. Yeah. Sweet. All right. I think we're good. Are you good?
Great. Yep.
Tim, thank you. And Jackson, thanks.
Yeah, thank
I know
guys.
It's like these are always kind of complicated. And it's a ton more work with all the setup in the office and everything. So, the fact that it was able to get up and running on time and, go all the way through is like, that's a great job. And thank you.
Yeah. Well, we learned a lot today and hopefully we'll just keep getting a little bit better each time.
Yeah.
Each time we do it.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, okay. Love you guys.
Love you.
Talk to you later. Say hi to the fam.
Will do. Bye.
Bye-bye.